Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, angels, angels, hey, angels of melody.
Tell me, are you ready?
Calling angels of melody.
She keep it hood, but she's up to some good.
Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. We thank you for tuning in to the Move of God, Part 7, right here on the Angels of Melody with your host, Miss Angel, on deck. And we just thank God for his many blessings. We thank God for you all that have been tuning in each week. I'm telling you, we've been having an awesome, awesome time on these shows. And so tonight, we're back again. There's been kind of a change. We were supposed to have a guest calling in from Ghana. However, I don't know what happened, never heard back. So we're going to keep it moving anyway. And then we want to keep Pastor Dontre Edwards of Fresh Oil Word Ministries in prayer. Some death happened on today, so we want to just uplift him and his family. He mentioned that he would try to come on, but I don't see him on, so I'm not sure. But, however, we thank God for backups, don't we? I'm telling you, we got a great powerhouse woman of God that's going to be on with us tonight. A lot of y'all heard her praying on last week. We thank God for Prophetess Felton, and she's going to be on with us. And then we thank God for my cousin being back on, Vanessa Collins. And then we thank God we have the man of God right now. We're going to let him go ahead and get started. Prophet Ken Jackson of Maintain Anointing Deliverance Ministries. And we just thank God, like I said, to give a shout out to all of you tuning in around the world, those that are here in the USA and all of the cities and states. We want to say God bless you, all of our family in Africa. We want to say God bless you as well, our family in Dubai, our family in Italy, those in Jamaica. We want to say God bless you as well over in Belgium, over in France. God bless on tonight. So right now we're going to click on my cousin real briefly and let her greet you guys before we bring the man of God on. God bless you, Vanessa.
God bless you, too. Hello. How are you? Hey, to everyone that's listening. God bless each and every one of you on tonight.
Girl, I thought we was going to have another thing. Everybody was saying the line was busy at the beginning. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of hard for me to get in, too. But, you know, God made a way, and here I am.
Yes. Amen. I'm thanking God for that as well. So we're going to click our brother on and go ahead and just let him go for it before he has to get off of here tonight. And then our second half, we're going to be having our sister on ministering to you all tonight. So, Prophet Ken Jackson, how are you, man of God?
I'm doing good. How you doing? How you doing, Prophet Estonia? How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you clear.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. I just want to give honor to God, who is my life, to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, to the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. We thank God for this beautiful broadcast. Amen. The Angel Radio Station, hosted by Prophetess Tanya. Amen. And her lovely cousin, and to our other guest that is on, the Prophetess Felton. Amen.
Yes.
I just want to thank God for... That was the name, Prophetess Felton, right?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, amen. I just want to thank God, you know, for how they talking about the move of God, amen. And, you know, when I think of that word move, that means something that has to be steady moving, something that is not mobile, something that is not stagnated but moving. It's just like we are living organisms. We are designed to keep it moving. Amen. And you know, now look at where we have been in this pandemic. It have been good to a degree, but the thing that I don't want the saints to get content, because if we continue to stay content in isolation, the enemy will pull a wool over our eyes. Because, see, the devil knows when the body of Christ is separated, there is no unity. Where there's no unity, there's no strength. Amen? And so the Bible tells us how good it is for the brethren to dwell together. It's like the dew that comes from Mount Hermon and like the oil that falls from Aaron's head down his beard unto the skirt. There's something about unity that brings about an anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. That's why when we come together in fellowship on one accord, amen, when we have the same harmony, the same drum beat, it's something that takes place. Healing take place. Deliverance take place. Why? Even medical science even say that there. They don't understand it, but it happens. Amen. Why? Because when two or three touching and agreeing, it brings God in the midst of us. Amen. And so what we have to do, you know, we've been at a state of repenting. We've been at a state of praying. All these things, but now it's time for us to move on. If you're repentant and truly repentant, then you don't have to keep repenting. It's time now to show that they have true repentance by doing good deeds. Amen? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, say, let us lay aside the elementary doctrines of Jesus Christ, of laying down the old foundations of repentance, and let us go on to perfection. It's time for the saints of God to move on to another level now. Amen. And one of the things that we got to do, because we've been dealing with the weapon that people have not been able to see with the natural eye. So therefore, because you couldn't see it with the natural eye, it caused a lot of people to panic and be in fear. And anxiety attacks and all these things begin to happen. And some of them in the midst of quarantine, they begin to get depressed because they're not used to being that alone by themselves that much. Amen. Sometimes God has to get us in a place where we can think. See, a lot of people don't like to be sit down a lot of times because they know if they sit down in a quiet place too long, it's going to cause them to think. And some people don't want to think. But we got to get in a place where we can begin to allow our minds to be renewed. And one of the things that the Lord began to deal with me about, I think it was Friday, he began to share with me. As he began to tell me, he said, everybody's praying, everybody's repenting. He said, but son, there's something that yet remains that needs to be done. It's time for the body of Christ to stand up and reverse the word curses that have been spoken over this nation.
My God.
See, pray, you can repent, you can do all these things all day, but if you do not deal with the word curse that have been released over the nation by unauthorized voices, God said, I would not let nothing come upon the earth except I first reveal my secret unto my prophets. This was not a prophetic declaration. This is something that came from the media, and what they have done, they have kept talking about how many deaths, predicting this many deaths, predicting this many people are going to be sick, this many is going to hit in this area, it's going to hit in that area. Okay, now it's time for the body of Christ, especially those that call themselves prophets, to stand up on the watchtower and intercept these things, amen, begin to reverse the word curse and begin to speak the blessings of God back over the nation. Because when you do not, those word curses will continue to linger. And this is why folks study watching the news to see what the people say and seeing if it's happening or not. And you got to understand, anytime you have been watching something that where the story is steady and consistency, you ought to know it's a bunch of confusion. So now it's time to begin to speak the word of God back into this nation. Amen. Yes. Glory be to God. We're dealing with an invisible weapon we can't see with the eye, but the body of Christ needs to understand that we have invisible weapons too. Amen. The Bible tells us that the weapons that we have are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And it's time for us to begin to pull down strongholds Amen. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is suffered by violence, and by violence take it by force. There are some things that we're going to have to take back by force. Amen. This here thing, it came by force. So therefore, if we're going to take the church back and be back in the position like we're supposed to be, and realize what Jesus said when he says that upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We're going to have to stand up and take some things back by violence. Amen. Which means that we cannot continue to stay in a passive state. But this is the time when you need military-minded people. People really understand what engaging in warfare means. Amen. And when I'm talking about when you engaging in warfare, I'm not talking about you just running around, got the church, everybody running around speaking in tongues real loud. No, that's not what I'm talking about. First of all, when you get ready to go into warfare, this is why the demons does not come out a lot of times. You must understand when you're dealing with demons and principalities, you got to understand that demons are organized. When Jesus asked this man, what is your name, and the demon said, we are legion. Legion means that we are many, but not only does it mean we are many, but it means that we come from a hierarchy that we are well organized. And this is why a lot of demons do not come out, because he sees that the church is confused. The church is unorganized. And you cannot bring out confusion if you confuse yourself.
So we need
a strategic plan. Glory be to God. In order to deal with the enemy. One of the things the Bible tells us, when it tells us that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Through the pulling down strongholds. Amen. And casting down imagination. Deals with images, things that deal with your mental capacity, things that deal with your mind. Pull these imaginations down. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So everything that speaks against what the word of God says, then we got the ability and power to pull them down, because these are things that are going against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. What did God say? He said, this earth is his. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. People, we got to take this earth back. Amen. But it's going to take people that are willing to pray, people that are willing to live a lifestyle, amen. See, because we got too many gifts running around, but we got no character. And this is why the devil he don't listen to most of the saints, because the devil don't care nothing about your gift. He only respects authority. He only respects a lifestyle. He does not respect a gift. And this is where this society have been. We have been so wrapped up on talents and so wrapped up on giftings till we don't care nothing about lifestyles. We don't care nothing about character. We have put people that got talent and we'll move the anointing out the way. We'll put novice in the place and take people of wisdom out the way. Why? Because we are so wrapped up for entertainment and performance instead of seeing souls saved and deliverance. But God is calling for a church that is going to march and not break rank. He's calling for a people now that is going to stand up and declare what thus says the Lord. Because it's time for the church to begin to move forward. When God called Moses and told him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, God gave Moses a command. He said, command the people to go forward. In other words, it's time for you all to move. It's time for the church to be on a move now. And what happened? When Moses then began to move and began to travel, the enemy decided to come after him. Glory be to God. Yeah. And right there in the midst of them pursuing him, and in the midst of the thing he had to cross, Moses began to take a recess break and began to pray. He began to do what most church folks do. He began to pray. Amen. But God rebuked him in the middle of his prayer and said, "Wherefore thou criest unto me?" In other words, he was saying, "Why are you praying at this time? This is not the time to be praying. You got an enemy of your past trying to chase you. You got a feat in front of you that you need to cross. Moses, this is not the time to be praying." He said, "What did I tell you, Moses?" He said, "Did not I command you to tell the forward?" He said, "Now, Moses, what I need you to do, I need you to look at what's in your hand. I placed something in your hand while you was on the backside of the desert. Don't you remember the shepherd that you had, Moses? Do you not remember when you came to the burning bush, when I called you and said, 'Moses, Moses,' glory be to God." See, anytime God calls you twice, that means he's bringing you into covenant. Anytime God calls you twice, he's bringing you into a place of agreement. Anytime God calls you twice, he's ready to establish a covenant with you, because God realized that the place of agreement is the place of power, and the place of power is the place of manifestation. So he called Moses and said, "Moses, Moses." God wanted to make sure he got his attention. Glory be to God. He said, "Moses," he said, "now take off your shoes." Good God Almighty. Take off your shoes. Why did God tell Moses to take off his shoes? Because God was trying to get Moses to understand. See, it was a custom that any time you stepped upon somebody else's grounds, it was customary that you take your shoes off as a form of respect. And so when God began to tell Moses to take his shoes off, what Moses was doing, he was reverencing the ground that he was stepping on. In other words, it's just like when people send you something through the computer, and they'll put a little box up there, and they'll say, "Read it," and then click the box if you agree, because it's going to be up under my terms and my condition. And that's what God was telling Moses. "Moses, I'm calling you to a place, and the grounds that you're standing on is holy grounds. So you cannot continue to walk on these grounds that you have walked all the years of your life. You must take your shoes off now and become a prisoner unto me." Because another sign when they took the shoes off means they had become enslaved to another owner. So what God was saying, you've been a slave to Pharaoh for 40 years, and you done ran away for 40 years, but now it's time to take your shoes off and become a prisoner of me. And say, "Moses, the reason you got to take your shoes off, because the grounds that you're on are holy. And if you continue to walk into the divine presence of God with contaminated feet, you will die on the spot." So he had to take his shoes off in order to get ready to move forward to bring these people out.
My Lord.
So what did God tell Moses? He said, "Moses, I need to understand, Moses, what do you have in your hand?" Moses said, "Well, I got this old shepherd rod, and it got my personality wrapped up in it. You know, it got my character wrapped up in it. You know, it's the thing that I have leaned and depended on all my life." He said, "So this is what I have." And God said, "Throw it on the ground." What God is saying, when I get ready to call you to make a move, you got to throw your personality down. You got to throw your agenda down. You got to throw everything that you thought was right within yourself. You got to throw it down on the ground. And when Moses threw it down on the ground, God, it turned into a serpent, and Moses began to run. My God, my God, my God.
Jesus.
Moses is running. Now, why was Moses running? Moses was not running because it was a serpent, because Moses saw serpents all the time. You got to understand, he was in a desert, a dry place, where he tended Jethro's sheep. So he was used to seeing serpents all the time. But when that rod hit the ground, what he began to run from, Moses realized that over there in Egypt, Pharaoh and them, they wrote medallions with a king cobra on the necklace of it. And so what it did, when Moses saw the thing turn into a serpent, he remembered the magician tricks over in Pharaoh's camp, and it reminded him of Moses, of Pharaoh, who he had been running from for the past 40 years. And so God began to tell him, "Moses, pick it up by the tail." Good God Almighty.
Lord, have mercy.
Now Moses reached down and he picked this thing up by the tail. Now anybody that comes from the country know that that's a dangerous thing to pick a snake up by the tail, because it'll wrap around you and it'll bite you. But what God was doing, he was speaking prophetically to Moses. He was saying, Moses, when you pick this thing up at the tail, Moses, what I'm going to do, I'm going to reveal to you the end from the beginning. The Bible said that God had declared the end from the beginning. So he was telling Moses, when you pick it up from the tail, it means that I'm going to give you victory before you even start the walk. You got to understand that when you pick a thing up from the tail, that means that God have already gave you victory before you even start the fight. You got to understand, you picked it up from the tail, that means God have already sold you the end before you have once begun. So now Moses realized he got future victory, and when he picked it back up, it turned back into a rod again. Now what God have done, God have put his super on Moses natural. Now God said, now that's one sign. He said, now I need you to do one more thing, Moses. I need you to take your hand and stick it into your bosom. Good God Almighty. And the Bible said when Moses stuck his hand into his bosom, when he took his hand out, his hand was full of leprosy. But it was not what was on the hand. Glory be to God. It wasn't that the hand had leprosy on it. What God was showing Moses when he put his hand into his bosom, what was in the heart manifested on the hand. And God said, before I can use you, I got to get the leprosy out of your heart. Before I send you to a people, I got to clean the leprosy up out of you. Because see, what was in the heart manifested on the hand. And the hand represents the power of God. It represents the work of God. And so many people trying to do a work, but it's leprosy on your hand. And you wonder why your work keeps getting, oh my God, why your work keeps slowing down, why your work keeps losing business, why your work can't hear clearly, why your work keeps getting numb. Because leprosy is on your hand. Because of what was in your heart, now the manifested on the hand, and God said, I got to clean it up.
My God.
You can't move forward with Moses until I clean it up. And now he tells him to go down to the Pharaoh. Go on to Pharaoh now, boy. And you tell him to let him go. Let the people go. And Moses said, well, God, what should I tell the people? If they ask me who sent me, what should I tell them? Now Moses take it off of himself and place it on God. And God said, you mean who I am? God said, well, I got too many names to give you, Moses. He said, because if I tell you I'm the bread of life, I forgot to tell you that I am the way. If I tell you I'm the way, I forgot to tell you I'm the truth. If I tell you I'm the truth, I forgot to tell you I am the light. If I tell you I'm the light, I forgot to tell you I'm the door. I'm the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I'm Amos plumb line. He said, I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the rose of Sharon. I am he which was and who is to come. I am the bright star. I am the first. I'm the last. I'm the Alpha. Moses, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Jehovah New. Moses, I don't know what to tell you. So many names. So what I'm going to do, Moses, I'm going to give you a blank check. And whatever you need me to be, you just fill in the check. And he summed it up and say, I am that I am. And what God say, when you go down there to bring my people out, I'm going to show them that I am what I am. Glory be to God. And this, now Moses, he began to travel. And some of you, glory be to God, that's tuning in, you might have been going through some situations and you need God to be something in your life. I'm going to let you know that God is giving you a blank check tonight. And whatever you need God to be, that's what he's going to be for you. Now, some of you, you're going to see different signatures on the check because of your situation. Some of you need a healing, so you're going to see a sign, Jehovah Rafiki. Some of you are going to, oh my God, going to need to be sanctified. And you're going to see a sign, Jehovah Maccabees. Some of you are going to need to see him to be a provider. And you're going to see a sign, Jehovah Jireh. Whatever your condition is, he's going to find it. Because he I am that I am. Now Moses get there, and now he tell Pharaoh what God says, and I'm going to speed it up. Now he brings them out of Egypt, and now he comes to the point at the Red Sea. They supposed to be on the move. But the past don't came back to chase them. And they got a sea in front of them.
Moses does a religious act, like I say a lot of people do. He stopped to pray, but it was not a time to pray. It was a time to be moving forward. Good God Almighty. Oh, Lord, how much.
Okay.
So God had to stop him in his tracks and say, did not I command you to tell the people to go forward? And then he turned around and asked Moses, what did I put in your hand? God is talking to the church. What did I give you? Are you going to continue to let the past chase you? Are you going to continue to let what need to be done in front of you? Are you going to continue to let those things hold you down and stop the move that I'm trying to give to the body of Christ? Moses, what is in your hand? And God is saying to the body of Christ, what have I placed in your hand? Did not I give you power and authority? Use your power. Use your authority.
That's right.
So now, he tell Moses, get the rod, the authority that I have given you. He told Moses, now stretch it out towards the sea. And then he told Moses, he said, divide it. He didn't say he was going to divide it. He told Moses to divide it. Why? Because when God gives us the ability to do something, he expects us to do it. And this is why the church got to be on the move. And we got to begin to take and utilize the power that God has given us. We got to begin to use what's in our hand. We got to begin to stretch it out to America. My God, my God, my God. And cause this pain to cease. Cause every word curse to see.
Yeah.
Pour out every imagination and every word that I've been spoken against the knowledge of God and bring it into subjection when our obedience is proven. This is time now, people, to be on the move. Let's begin to speak against these word curses. They said, oh, this is how many going to die. This is how many going to get sick. Well, we say different. Amen. Because the Bible says that God said, it's not my pleasure that any should perish. God get no pleasure out of death. Why do people think that God just wants folks to die? God said, did not I tell you that all souls are mine? Even when a person, glory be to God, begin to commit sin, God was sent a watchman to him to warn him. And he said, and when I, he told what he told Ezekiel, I want you to go warn them and tell them to repent of their sins. And if they don't repent, then they would die. He said, but if you don't tell them, then their blood will be upon your hands. Glory be to God.
Right.
He said, but if you tell them and they repent, I will remove. Glory be to God. Don't you realize if you don't repent it, if the body of Christ repentant with true repentance, don't you realize according to the word of God, the plague have been removed? But we can let faith, cause us to be on the move, or we can let fear paralyze us. So
that's
people,
right.
I want to just suggest to you today, let's begin to speak to the word curses and reverse it and begin to decree and declare over this nation that God will come back in this nation, prayer will come back in our schools, discipline will come back in our families, marriages will come back together, the home will be a home again, amen. Glory be to God. That perversion will be lifted up out of here, that laws will be changed, where there will be no more man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman, amen. But it'll come back like God said, where a man finds himself a wife, finding himself a good thing, amen. Glory be to God.
That's
it's
right.
time for the church to begin to preach holiness, righteousness.
That's right.
These are the things that brings about revival. Cars, houses, land, money, that don't bring about revival.
My God.
But true repentance is what usher in revival. And revival usher in restoration. My God.
That's right.
So people, let us continue to be on the move for God. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to turn it back over into the hands of my sister.
My God. Oh, my God. Woo! I'm telling you, man of God, you brought that word, I'm telling you, on tonight. Everything you were saying is, I'm telling you, it was on point. You are so right, because so many people are looking at what's going on, and they're not looking at God. They're not looking at
who God is. They're looking at what Corona is doing. And like you said, so many people is dying a day and this and that is going on. But nobody, you know, that people is really forgetting about who God is and who is a true healer, who is a deliverer. We all talking about what the doctor's doing and this and that and people going, and we don't believe that it's going to let up. It's just going to keep going and going. And like you said, and it's just like the church is not stepping up. You know, everybody is having worse, you know, worry going on. And it's deep. What Nessa, what would you say to that?
I also enjoyed the man of God as well. He was definitely on, and God used him effectively. I really.
Are you moving or something? I can't hear you. I can't hear you when it's a lot of noise or something. I don't know if you're moving around, but.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, now we can hear you. Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to say that, yes, I really enjoyed that word there. Yes, he did hit every corner, every angle. God used him greatly because, you know, I was thinking, sitting there, thinking, like, you know, so focused into what's going on, you know, getting back into the groove of things and working and stuff like that. And the man of God is right. You know, we at home, we impatient, we want to hurry up and do this and do that, and we're so distracted by other things instead of doing what God wants us to do, to get before him. While we have this time, this quiet place, this time, we need to get before the Lord and
get
things right in us. You know, not what's going on the news, what's going on outside the doors, what somebody's doing and what he's doing, what she's doing. It's not about that. See, going in different directions again. We ain't learned nothing. You know, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. That's what's been
the
problem all along, is that we've been so divided and so going this way and going that way and just, you know, pretty much not giving God any time, taking him for granted, you know. And that's why he allowed this to happen. But he did it for a reason. And even in spite of this, God is still so good and so merciful and so gracious.
Oh, my God,
Yes, and he's still blessing, and he's still there in spite of our imperfections or what we do or not do. But we're missing the signals. We're missing the point here. We're going through the script, but we ain't reading it. You know, we up here signing documents. We ain't taking the time to read the little fine print.
That's right.
We still so distracted and off to our own self. It's not about that. It's about God. It's about us getting in that anchor place so we can be ready to battle.
That's right.
We don't have the right tools or the right weapons. That's been the problem. We haven't been righteous. We haven't been holy. We've been letting everything and anything come in the temple, which means ourselves.
Yeah.
And he wants us to be holy and purified.
That's right.
And with our mind stayed on him, to focus only on him, to give him that attention. You know, that he needs it. He's worthy to have that. It's all this stuff
that
he's been doing for us, in spite of ourselves, how we just be like, oh, there's no God, and we worship in TV, we worship in the clothes, we worship in a man or a woman, we worship in that car, we worship in how much money we make and, you know, the jewelry we have, and we worship in the carpet on the floor. What are we going to do with the carpet? Are we going to get new carpet? Or we going to paint the walls? Or we going to get new carpet? Well, we're not focused on God. He doesn't want us to focus on another God. He gets real jealous about that. I mean, would you want somebody to pay attention to another person and you like, what's going on here? Why you ain't paying me no attention? I thought we were together. You're going to get mad.
Yeah, all right.
At some point, you're going to feel abandoned. At some point, you're going to get tired, and you're going to get angry. And God is angry with the world every day, but he's really angry with the church because we know better.
No, my God.
We know better.
Oh, my God.
We know better. You think he ain't going to spank us and whoop us and discipline us just like you would with your own child, be angry because your child ain't doing what they supposed to do?
That's
and they
right.
think they're getting away with murder, and they're not. They think they're being sneaky. God's eyes are everywhere. He sees
yes.
everything we do. We think we're going to hide, go in the closet, and shut the door. But he can't see in there.
God
sees everything. So,
I'm
on that same heartbeat. I agree 100%, you know, that we need to be more anchored in God.
That's true. That is, you know, that is true. That is so true. That's why I stated even on last week, you know, a blind man can see what's going on. You know, it's not about what's happening out here. It's about what God is saying. And I really believe when I talked to a sister the other day, she was saying that we better be praying, show nothing, and getting in that word. Because when this thing let up, she said, I believe that the ministry is going to go triple. Things is going to really be going. We're going to be busy. Got to be busy doing the work, you know. And so we thank God for this time of quietness. You know, there's a song by Ben Tanker called Let's Keep Quiet. Let's Get Quiet. And the lady is singing a few verses of, you know, you used to call me up. You know, you used to talk to me, but now you're not doing it anymore. You used to tell me, you know, that you love me. Now I'm not hearing that anymore. Now you seem too far away because you're so busy. We always so busy that we wake up in the morning. We can't even say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up. And even in during this pandemic or whatever you want to call it that's going on, God is still blessing, even with finances. You know what I'm saying? People are receiving money out of nowhere. You know, I hear so many people, oh, I went online and I did this and that, and now I've got approved, and they said I was getting so many thousands, and I got thousands in the bank. Look at what's going on. That's what I meant about the move. The move is still going. Even in this, God is still moving. He's still blessing. Even in this. And we have to praise him and give him all the honor and all the glory for what he is doing, because he's steady yet is keeping us. And like the man of God said, we got to speak over this nation. We cannot. We got to have that blueprint vision that God said that he wants us to have. But we got to get in that place to get the blueprint vision. It's just not going to come. But we have to get in that place. And I just thank God we got 2 minutes left. Man of God, anything else you want to say before we go into our second half? Because we know that you have to go.
Amen. I just enjoyed this. And like you say, it's time for us to speak to the nation. The Bible talks about that before Samuel came, the Bible said that the word of the Lord, it was rare in those days. Amen. In other words, it says, well, it's no open vision. That word open vision means it was no prophetic utterance. Every now and then, the nation has to have a prophetic utterance. Why? Because it's the prophetic utterance that speaks you to your destination. Not all this stuff that we see today. If you all through the Bible, you didn't see what they call people out, individual. Oh, I see God got a call on your life and God want to bless. No, they spoke to the nation. And this is what we need, prophets now that can decree and declare to the destiny of the nation. Amen. Something that when it's spoken, it will cause your address to change. When true prophetic words hit your life, you don't stay the same. You'll go from Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah, from Peter. Amen. So we need to now speak life into a nation that once was beautiful, and that God will restore it to where it was. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Well, I tell you what, we thank God for you, man of God. We're about to do part 8
of the move of God. So we want to just tell everybody that is listening in, the number that you have called, call in, give us about 15 minutes and call back. This number, 646-787-8262, for our part 8, and we're going to hear our sister, Prophetess Annette Felton, I'm telling you. And in saying that, on Friday, tune in on Friday, this show, the whole show, will air on the Angels of Melody International radio station at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Station links will be posted as usual. God bless you, man of God. We thank you for calling in and being a part of this great move of God on these airwaves. And we'll be talking to you a little later.
Amen. God bless you all.
God bless you. All right, you all, call back. Give us about 15 minutes, and we'll be back live with our part 8.